comes loose to Curry. Curry gets it ahead to Gretzky. Gretzky going in. Suter trying to get back. Gretzky with a shot. He scores!
They're going to try here. Rushing to center and down the wing. It is Marshall!
Moving on. Rendemore at the far side. That's broken. Here's a break. It is Pisani. Scores! A shorthanded goal for Pisani in the Edmonton Oilers. Come out of the box.
Here comes Connor McDavid. Shifting right by Riley. Right in. What a goal! My goodness, what a goal by Connor McDavid.
Hey, hey, it's Thursday, and welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Hernan Salas, from TSN 1260, and of course, the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. On today's show, I'll be joined by Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Of course, you can catch Low Tide on the Lowdown Show with Tyler Yaremchuk weekdays from 10 to noon on TSN 1260. As we got a lot of Oiler news to get to, it's going to be an Oiler-heavy show, as we'll get into Jesse Puljujärvi, Frank Saravelli tweeting out this morning, Nugent Hopkins, and the Oilers. Progressing in contract talks, an extension for the Nuge, and we'll also get into the Oscar Clefbaum news yesterday, and then watching the All stream with Tom Gzoll and Dustin Nielsen saying that that Oscar Clefbaum needed convincing to come back to the bubble playoffs. So what is going on there? If he hits LTIR, what are the Oilers going to do with that money? So many questions, so we'll get a good beat on the Oilers from my buddy Low Tide coming up here in just a few minutes. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On and you'll get $10 off your next order. Like I said, Oscar Clefbaum yesterday, the news breaking from Elliot Friedman saying that he's weighing his options on surgery that would keep him out for a significant time heading into next season. The question I have is why now? Like, you were out the first week of August. Why didn't this decision come then, but you waited 2 months? There's a lot more here. Like, does he want out of Edmonton? Is he just calling it, you know, like, I just don't want to keep playing? Is it injuries that are hampering him, obviously, that he's just maybe had enough? So we'll ask Low Tide all these questions. But yeah, it's is there something there, or is there nothing? It's just, you know, a guy just pretty much opting for surgery and sitting out a year to kind of refresh the body. So because if you look at that left side now, Nurse, Russell, and Jones, if you go in with that, I mean, I think you're okay, but definitely a step back with Clefbaum out. And then Frank Saravelli tweeting out yesterday as well about Jesse Puljujärvi. Sounds like the Oilers have made progress in talks to bring Jesse Puljujärvi back into the fold. Looks like eventually on a one-year deal in the $1.2 to $1.5 million range. I don't think that's going to upset anyone really going forward. It's a one-year deal. Not a lot of money there as well. And we'll see what Jesse Puljujärvi can bring. I mean, is he going to be on the third line to start? Is he going to get top 6 minutes? And the Oilers, it's tough because they run their number one power play for most of the 2 minutes or whatever the time is for the power play. You don't get a lot on that second unit. And Jesse Puljujärvi is not going to play on the Oilers' top power play. I mean, they were outstanding this past season. I don't see any change there outside of maybe Clefbaum if he does not return. And then for me, I think Jesse Puljujärvi needs to be given an opportunity to see what he can bring. Give him a couple looks on the top six. I'm not saying just give him the spot and let him roll, but he needs some looks because this guy is coming here to score goals, and that's what you want him for. He's not a two-way guy. He's not a defensive juggernaut. So playing him on the third line, I just think it's a waste. So let's see what he has. And if it doesn't work, then you can always move him. There's always someone willing to take him. You're probably not getting much in return if it doesn't work out here, but I think if you can get 12, 15 goals from Jesse Puljujärvi going forward, you'll be happy. I mean, that top three pick now, throw that out the window. I don't think he's ever going to live up to that. You know, we kind of saw that with Yakupov as well. So Jesse Puljujärvi coming back at you know, that money and for 1 year, I don't think anyone should be complaining about that. And then this morning, I know Oilers fans are going to love this. Talks continue to progress between Oilers and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on a long-term extension. Not done and not close, but positive developments in the last 24 hours. I mean, Nuge, you know, he's got 1 year left on his deal at $6 million. He's 27 years old. I mean, he's a big part of the Edmonton Oilers. He's part of the big three with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. You know, he's the better, probably the best two-way guy on the team. He needs to improve, not defensively, sorry, on the faceoffs, but that's something that at 27, I think he's always going to be around where he is at throughout his career on faceoffs, but he really, really in these last two seasons has become an exceptional player. Playing with Leon Draisaitl and Yamamoto, that line was really clicking. Plays on your first unit power play, he kills penalties. He does it all. So Ryan Nugent-Hopkins looks like he wants to sign an extension to stay here. And then kudos to him, because he's been through some rough years here in Edmonton. And, you know, for a guy like that who probably, well, you know, I shouldn't say probably. Every player in the NHL wants to win, obviously. So for this guy to want to sign an extension and keep going forward with this team after some, you know, when he was drafted, he's had one good playoff run in the 2017 season. And then they were ousted, obviously, this year by the Chicago Blackhawks in another disappointing finish for the Edmonton Oilers. So you got to give him credit. I mean, he wants to continue to be with this team and go forward and win with this team. So we'll see what happens on that front. Money-wise, I can't see him getting more than 7, to be honest, especially with the flat cap, not knowing what's going to happen next season, how many games, what's going to happen with the cap going forward as well. So you're probably looking at anywhere from a 5 to 7 year deal, and then probably anything, obviously over 6. But probably 6.5 to 7, maybe 7.5 at the most. I don't think he can pay him $8 million, you know, going forward. So we'll see what happens there with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Nothing really to report otherwise so far today. I mean, it's still early in the morning as I'm recording this. We might get some news later on today. Exciting times, like I said. We got the draft coming up and free agency. And the Oilers keep coming up in all these little insider trading. A lot of the insiders are tweeting about them. But all right, coming up next, it is your favorite, Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Lotai, joining me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast as we'll get into Klefbom, Jesse Puljujärvi, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and maybe some baseball. That's all coming up here on the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan the Man. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. We're back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas. Of course, you can connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. And I'm pleased to welcome back. He was my first guest on the podcast, and now I bring him back because there's a lot of Oilers news to get to. My good buddy, Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide from The Lowdown on TSN 1260. Of course, you can connect with him on Twitter at Low Tide and hear him Monday to Fridays on TSN 1260 from 10 to noon. Low Tide, my friend, lots to get to as the season's officially over and we head into the draft and free agency. I got to start it off with Klefbom yesterday, news breaking that he might be opting for surgery and all that. And then the boys on the oil stream, Dustin Nielsen, Tom Cozzola, saying that they had heard that he had to be convinced to come play when the bubble playoffs kicked off. Low Tide, I mean, this is what I'm thinking. Like, why didn't he opt for surgery as soon as they were out? Like, there's so many things up in the air right now with this story breaking yesterday and then hearing what Dusty and Tom had to say about the convincing and all that. Like, what's going on here with Oscar Klefbom? Is he contemplating sitting the year out? Is it due to injury? Does he want out of Edmonton?
Well, I think that you know, going back to February, I had heard, I think other media people had heard that you know, Klefbom was suffering with shoulder problems and but he was gutting it out. And you know, you hear that a lot in an NHL season. So it's you factor it in, but you're also aware that you know, by February, everybody's got some kind of situation. Now, Oscar Klefbom has had problems in the past with the shoulder, and you know, reading the tea leaves now, him not necessarily being eager to come back, and now really contemplating his future. It sounds to me like he might be in some pain or chronic pain, and that's, you know, now we're talking about a 27-year-old guy who may have to live with some limitations or some pain for maybe the rest of his life if he doesn't address this, or maybe spend a year away or maybe even longer. So, I mean, I think that, you know, you always go to the worst-case scenario. Surgery may clean it up. He may be able to come back and be stronger than ever. Who knows? I mean, modern medicine and techniques are brilliant. But it's very disappointing. Oscar Klefbom, wildly popular player, very important player on the Oilers, and you don't just replace that guy. So, you know, for the 2021 season, this was not the news you wanted to hear really at the beginning of the trade and free agency, but it's important for Ken Holland to know that and maybe even, you know, moving forward, use some of that $4 million of Klefbom's cap, which probably will be LTIR, on his shopping here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and it's still hard with this news, Al, because, you know, the next season's so up in the air. We don't know how many games, when it's going to start, and all that. And if you're looking at the left side of the Edmonton Oilers now, Darnell Nurse, Chris Russell, and Caleb Jones, and you brought up, you know, the LTIR money. I mean, is it as simple as, well, not as simple, but is Ken Holland making a call to Tyson Barrie, maybe?
That's possible. I think Barrie is an interesting option. They certainly, you know, the power play side of that, you know, would be addressed with Barrie. He's a little more chaotic, and he's coming off a pretty difficult year. I like him as a player. It would depend on price point, and you know, I imagine he'll want a longer term deal. But Barry's always been kind of mentioned along with the Oilers. So if he's an option, I imagine the Oilers will be, you know, looking at him and finding out what the price point is.
Interesting times here when it comes to the back end of the Edmonton Oilers. And just, you know, Klefbom took a lot of heat. You know, he takes a lot of heat. I think him and Darnell Nurse are up there. I mean, it's either one or the other for the fan base here. For me, I think Klefbom is still the best defenseman on this team, so it'd be a significant hit for them. What are you hearing? Well, I guess, what's it going to take to get Ekman Larson? We keep hearing the Oilers linked to the Arizona Coyotes and Ekman Larson. Listen, I think he moves the needle for the Edmonton Oilers. I think the Oilers, you know, it helps them immensely if he comes here, but I just don't know what kind of deal the Oilers have to make to get him here. Like, it almost seems like it's not realistic.
Well, I think there's a few things. Number one, you know, we don't know if Arizona's willing to take on money. They may want to find a team that will take OEL for just picks and prospects, and I don't think the Oilers can afford to do that. Now, if from the Ken Holland point of view, you've got two guys in McDavid and Draisaitl who are either in their prime or entering their prime. So you want to put as much talent around them as possible. And even with the understanding that Klefbom is unlikely to be available there, Oliver Ekman-Larsson offers you a lot of things that you didn't have a year ago. The Oilers have a really good outlet passer in Ethan Bear, but the rest of the group maybe not as good as Bear or not as capable. OEL can do that. Ekman-Larsson is a great puck transporter. He'll join the rush. I think he's better with his puck on his stick than he is defensively. But he really would be an upgrade on the. I think he'd play with Larson. I think he'd play on the power play. You'd probably see him 23, 24 minutes. So from the point of view of getting him and helping the Oilers next year with McDavid and Draisaitl in their prime, I totally get the deal. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to come here because the Oilers have cap issues, and they 8.25 is a lot. So if Arizona is willing to retain and take on a contract like Russell or Neal, I can see the deal happening. Otherwise, I don't think that's close.
And just one last one here in this segment, Al. I mentioned the left side without Klefbom. Let's just say something, Ken Holland can bring in a top four defenseman. How comfortable are you rolling with Nurse, Russell, and Caleb Jones to start next season?
Well, I like Nurse. I think is a capable top four guy. He plays well with Bear. They were the top pair for much of last season. It's not ideal, but, you know, those guys are going to play 20 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Russell and, say, Benning have experience, but mostly on the third pair. Russell is an older player. I really like Caleb Jones. Ideally, you don't put him in a tough position right off the bat. And maybe, you know, maybe with Larson that would help him, a veteran in the top four. I think Jones would be the option for the second pair with Larson, in my opinion. But you definitely want to upgrade that. Not because Jones won't get there. He may well, you know, spend most of his career in the top four defensively. But it's a lot to ask for a guy with less than 40 games NHL experience.
Coming up, we'll get to Jesse Puljujärvi news and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, as Frank Cervelli's absolutely killing it on Twitter right now with all these little tidbits involving the Edmonton Oilers. That's coming up with Low Tide next here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Last segment here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas, from TSN 1216, the Two Guys in the Goalie podcast. And I'm pleased to be joined by Low Tide from the Lowdown Show on TSN 1260, weekdays 10 to noon. You can connect with him on Twitter at Low Tide. Low Tide, you know, Frank Cervelli yesterday mentioning seeing that Jesse Puljujärvi, if and when he did return to the Edmonton Oilers, it looks like a deal for the young man would look like $1.2-1.5 million range on a one-year deal. I don't think me and you or any Oiler media or fans here thought that it was going to be a big number and all that, but a one-year deal at that price is exactly what Jesse needs, right?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's good for Puljujärvi to come in on a deal of around those dollars, and maybe even on a one-year deal. It's a prove it deal, but it also puts him up below a certain event horizon. He's coming in to earn an NHL job, mm-hmm. and there's no, you know, we're not talking about him as a top five pick anymore. I happen to think Jesse Puljujärvi is really talented, and I don't know how much offense he's going to bring, but I think with that size and speed and all the other things that he has just as tools, he should be a very capable NHL player within a couple of years if he can just come in and settle in and be a part of a team. And I think that really is what this contract would do. He wouldn't be expected to carry any line, probably on the third line, maybe with a knee guard on the other side and who knows in the middle. And you're just trying not to get outscored. You're not expecting mm-hmm. him to pop 25 goals. He may eventually become more substantial. Maybe he plays some or a lot of his career on a scoring line. We can't guarantee that now. And I think a depth role, a bottom six role at that dollar amount is the best way for Puljujärvi to come in. Not a lot of high expectations. And you know, just go out and work, earn the job, and be a better player by the end of the year than you are at the start of the year.
And that's where I want to get to next with Jesse Puljujärvi. Listen, I agree like the money's right, and he's probably going to come in, and he's going to have to earn everything he gets here with the Edmonton Oilers Club. But I'm looking at it this way. He's a young guy. He's never going to be a two-way guy. Like, let's make that clear. He's not going to be a defensive juggernaut. You want him to score probably 15 to 20 goals. I just think that if he's coming back here and you're going to sign him, like, give him some quality looks in the top six and maybe give him some second power play time. I know it doesn't get a lot of ice time here in Edmonton, the second power play, but don't you want to see what he has? Like, he's obviously matured. He's playing well in the finish league, and I just think taking him on that third line is just, we're going back to what we did to him when he was here in his first couple of seasons, where I don't think he's going to have a lot of success there.
Well, Puljujärvi played well numbers wise with McDavid, but you know, I always had a feeling that you know, McDavid is a, you know, he's the kind of guy who plays really well with a player like Patrick Maroon, who, you know, he just goes to the net and McDavid will find him. And Puljujärvi, I think, is a he likes to transport the puck too. So I think that's a process. And look, maybe Dave Tippett did a really great job with all the young players a year ago.
Yeah.
So maybe that process doesn't take long. But I think it's important that Puljujärvi have success in the NHL, even aside from scoring. And if you put him on the McDavid line or the Draisaitl line right off the hop, then I do think there's a lot of pressure on him. I don't, you know, by mid-season, if he's moved up, and I say earn, but that's not really what I mean.
Yeah.
If he's moved up and he's confident and playing well and he can be trusted and the players on the ice are comfortable with him, then I think that's a natural fit. I would be really hesitant after all that's come before to force him into a feature role, because I think that's sort of what happened last time. And you know, the year away has I think been good, because everybody mm-hmm. you know, the Oilers found out that they're what they are without him. He found out what he is without them, and maybe there's an opportunity to kind of build a bridge here. And if they have success and he's a part of it, that would be the best possible solution.
Joined by Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide, here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Frank Saravelli today, earlier this morning on Twitter, tweeted this. So talks continue to progress between Oilers and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on a long-term extension. Not done and not close, but positive developments in the last 24 hours. Al, what does a new deal for Nugent-Hopkins, in your opinion, look like?
Well, I think it'll be a longer-term deal, and that will allow the AAV or the annual cap to be lower. So I mean, I think you're looking at 7 years, and you're probably looking at you know, somewhere between 6.5 and 7 million. The reason I think it'll be that low is the you know, the flat cap and the COVID, and mm-hmm. we're not really sure where we're going here. So I know I've heard, you know, people mentioning, you know, Patrick Marleau is a comparable, or Matt Duchene is a comparable. All of those contracts were signed before the situation we are now in. So he made $6 million on his last contract. Even with COVID, I think an increase it would be, you know, expected. So I think there'll be some more dollars there, but I don't think $8 million is reasonable. And I'm a big Nuge fan. I love him. I just think he's a great player.
Yeah.
But he arrives at free agency at a pretty difficult moment in terms of what the cap is going to look like.
Ideally, you'd want to go maybe five, and Nuge is 32, 33 years old. But again, he's going to look for that term. Are you a little surprised, but, you know, Nuge got UFA after next year, right, if he doesn't sign. And this is a guy who's, you know, he's been through some really tough times here in Edmonton. He's been through one successful playoffs where they're ousted in the second round, and then a disappointing one in the weird bubble playoffs this year. If the Oilers miss again the playoffs next season, isn't that something, let's say, that Nuge is not resigned at that point, that he would consider maybe moving on and just look for success somewhere else?
I think Nuge is unique among the first overall picks from the early part of, mm-hmm. of last decade, in that he's, you know, Hall was very much a driver and an A-type personality, as was Yakupov.
Yeah.
And Nugent Hopkins is he's more of a subtle guy, and that's, I'm not putting him down. I think it's a gift. He's not... they move him to wing, he never doesn't say a word. They move him back to center, he doesn't say a word. They move him off the power play because McDavid arrives, he doesn't say a word. I think he's a really good team player. And that's not to say that he doesn't have pride or doesn't think he's mm-hmm. a great player or is, but he seems willing to work within a system and a framework. And that's a godsend. I think Nugent Hopkins is a good candidate to play his entire career with the Edmonton Oilers. We're always talking about players like that. His personality, I think, fits Edmonton really well. He's loved in this town. I mean, try criticizing the guy, you'll get your head bitten off. But I think because of that, it also is probably a reason why he's the best two-way player among the great ones that have come here over the last decade. Nugent Hopkins is aware of what happens when he doesn't have the puck, and he's really good at it. And you know, if they could clone him and put him on the left side on both the McDavid and Draisaitl lines, I believe they would.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, he's absolutely loved in this city. He does a lot of things very well for this team. And he, like you said, he just never complains. But you did see a little frustration, not this season, but the last season, where he's like, we got to turn this around now. And that was the first time you saw him a little upset, right? So it'll be interesting to see if they get a deal done before next season, or if he's going to kind of just say, let's wait and see what happens here. But one last one for you, Low Tide. You've been enjoying the baseball?
I have. I really have. You never know with me. Some years when the playoffs come, I watch it a bit, and then I get mad at baseball and I turn it off. But I've probably because of this weird sports year, I've enjoyed pretty much every game. Disappointment with the Jays, but they had a great year, and I think they showed a lot of people what those young bats can do. They need to get a little better on the field with the leather and the mm-hmm. the other, you know, things that happen when you're playing defense. But the pitching staff came along. They made some really astute trades. I think if you're a Blue Jays fan, you should be pretty bullish here moving forward.
Oh, definitely. It's been fun. And the Rays were always going to be a tough matchup for them. And I don't think anyone saw the pitching performance from Hyunjin Ryu. And he owned it. I mean, kudos to him. He said he wasn't feeling, it was nothing physical. It's just he made some mistakes out there. But the future looks bright for the Blue Jays. And we look ahead. And then I didn't know the streak of the Minnesota Twins, man. You got to feel bad for them, because I think they came in as the favorites too, right?
Yeah. And they're, you know, it's funny. And they were like that before, too, before they won their World Series in the 80s, before Tom Kelly came in. They were sort of, you know, they always seemed like they were going to do really well, and they were a good regular season team, and you definitely expected them to be close to the playoffs or in them. But they didn't, you know, they would lose quickly and quietly, and you know, they were home by early October. Well, you know, that's sort of I think we're seeing a little bit of that too, right? Like the teams that traditionally do well, like the, you know, the Yankees come in and that, you know, they're the Yankees all of a sudden after a weird, you know, period in their 60-game regular mm-hmm. season. So There are just some teams, man, I'm telling you, they always just, they sort of seem like they're going to get somewhere, yeah. And they never really do.
Low Tide, my friend, I know it's a busy day for you. You got your show coming up and all that. Always appreciate you taking some time to join me here on the Locked On Oilers podcast.
Well, Hernan, congratulations for having me as your first guest and still surviving. the media is noticing that. You started out from way behind with me as your first guest, but you're coming on strong, so congratulations.
Hey, listen, I know what I'm doing here, because that's still the most downloaded podcast I have with my good buddy Low Tide. So
I got a lot of relatives.
You're like Nuge for the media here. Everybody just loves you.
Well, I don't back check very well. That's the big difference between us.
All right, buddy. Thanks again.
All right, my friend. Be good.
Once again, a big shout out to Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide, from The Lowdown Show on TSN 1260. You can catch him weekdays 10 to noon. Always great talking Oilers with him. He's the absolute best when it comes to Oiler talk, in my opinion. We unpacked a lot there, talking Oscar Klefbom news, if he's opting out for surgery, if he hits the LTIR, what are the Oilers going to do with that money? We also talked about Jesse Puljujärvi. It sounds like he's going to be around that $1.2, $1.5 million, cap hit. And then where he ends up in the lineup, I mean, again, I'll say it again. I think you got to give him the opportunity. Playing him on the third line, to me, makes no sense. And then on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, of course, Frank Saravelli tweeting out today that, talks have continued to progress between the Oilers and Nugent-Hopkins on a long-term extension. Says that they're not done and not close, but positive for sure when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers. And like me and Low Tide talked, I mean, this guy's absolutely loved here in the city of Edmonton. He does everything right on and off the ice, and we'll see what kind of number he comes in at in term with, next season up in the air and all that, and, if he's going to want to sign long-term and give up the UFA status, I guess, or he's going to say, hey, let's just wait here and test it. But obviously, he loves Edmonton if they're in talks and he wants to stay, and kudos to him, because he's been through some rough years here, man. Not a lot of success as a team. I'm not individually as a team for him. So if he signs, you know what kind of character this guy has. And I mean, even if he opted out, could you really blame him? Like, say he didn't sign, and then next season the Oilers don't make the playoffs, and he's like, you know what, I want to test the waters and go somewhere else. Like, you can't really blame him, because he's definitely paid his dues with this organization, who hasn't had a lot of success in his time. All right, things are starting to heat up. A lot of news breaking from the NHL insiders all over the plays, so we'll keep tabs on that as we near the draft on Tuesday, followed by free agency. So fun times ahead for the NHL. It's the off season. We'll see what happens with the Edmonton Oilers, Oscar Klefbom, Jesse Puljujärvi, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Is there trades? Is there free agents coming? All that. So it's going to be a busy few weeks here on the pod, and I hope to have a lot of guests on the pod to make sure we cover all the bases when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers. Remember, you can connect with me on Twitter at HernanTheMan, at LockedOnOilers. What are your thoughts on today's content? What would you like to see going forward? Always interested in your thoughts, so hit me up on Twitter. And don't forget to subscribe or follow on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. Producer Jaime is giving me the red light. That means it's time to wrap up the Thursday edition of the Locked On Oilers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Hernan, the man talking Los Petroleros. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.